All right, here's our lesson for today. Three things every Christian needs to grow. Now, this is based on a book by Thomas Ward out of Massachusetts. And so I'll show you the cover of this. It's called Victorious Christian Living. It's a series. And so this is the fifth of five lessons entitled Three Things Every Christian Needs to Grow. And so that is what we're going to be talking about today. Three things every Christian needs to grow. And so we're going to be all over the place in our scriptures. But here are the three things that we need to grow as Christians. Now, it doesn't matter if you're a babe in Christ who desires the sincere milk of the Word. If you're a young Christian, a little child Christian, or a spiritual father kind of Christian, those distinctions come to us from 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, also 1 Peter chapter 2, the different stages of spiritual growth. Well, Peter says in 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen." So we need God's Word to grow, we need prayer to grow, and we need fellowship to grow. So these are the three things that we'll be looking at today as Christians to learn to continue growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. You know, Paul had to tell the Hebrew Christians, he said, it's time for us to move on, but we can't because the time has come for you to be teachers, but it's necessary for me to go back and re-examine the basics. And it was a fault of theirs because they had been saved long enough that they should have grown spiritually, but they hadn't. So I have a question for you. Are you growing? Are you growing through the different stages of the Christian life, growing through infancy into the little childhood stage, into the adolescent stage of teenager and young adult, and then finally have you become that mature, seasoned saint in the Lord that is called a father? I've written unto you fathers. So are you growing? What stage are you in? And so if you're not growing, then you're regressing. And you need to get growing again today. And you need these three things. So just as it's necessary for us to grow physically, so we need the Word of God to grow spiritually. Jesus, in resisting the devil and temptation, said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So spiritual food is necessary. So let's look here at our first point today. We need God's Word to grow. We need God's Word to grow. Now, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 is where we'll start. I'm already there, so I'm going to give you just a second to turn there. But this is what Joshua 1, 8 says. This book of the law, meaning the Old Testament books of Moses, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. At the time in which Moses wrote, the Hebrew believers were equipped with everything that they needed to grow. They had the first five books of the Bible, and that was sufficient for that time in human history, for them to be everything that they needed to be in their relationship with God. Now, here is what Joshua says. Okay, Joshua is telling the people to meditate in it day and night, be in the Word of God a couple of times. And so meditate, it means to rehearse to yourself mentally, to ask yourself, what did I read this morning? Maybe an hour after you've read your morning Bible reading. Maybe asking yourself that at your 10 o'clock break. Then when you take your lunch break, ask yourself that question. What did I read this morning? At your 2 o'clock break, what did you read this morning? Then at the end of the day before dinner, what did I read? Before you go to bed, what did I read? And just rehearse it to yourself. And so day and night, meditate in the Word of God. And so they have the Old Testament books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But now we've got the completed Word of God, and we can meditate in any portion of Scripture that we read. Now, according to Joshua 1:8, all right? Now, if we read God's Word and apply it to our lives, here's something that we should expect to happen. It's the two phrases at the end of verse 8. It says, "Then thou shalt have good success, and your way will be prosperous." You know, some people think that having a successful Christian life, that's a wrong kind of thing to say, but it's not the wrong kind of thing to say. We are to have success as a Christian. God wants us to be spiritually successful. And so, to be a prosperous Christian, these are not the prosperity gospel things that we're worried about here. But God doesn't want us to be a defeated Christian. God wants us to be a victorious Christian, because our faith has overcome the world. And so we should expect success. And that's what Joshua 1:8 says. Now, I want you to go over to another chapter and book in the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17. 2 Timothy 3, 17. In 2 Timothy 3:17, the Word of God tells us this, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you see our third bullet point here on the slide is to be equipped. All right, to be equipped. What does it mean to be equipped? Well, it means to have all the necessary tools that we need as a Christian to serve the Lord, to worship Him properly. And so here, no Christian can grow spiritually, no Christian can serve the Lord acceptably without the Word of God. And so we need to be in the Word every day. God makes it clear that applying the Bible to our lives has a definite purpose, and that is to be His servant, to serve Him through good works. Now, if you would just back up a verse with me to verse 16, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Now, you see there's profit once again. So how do we profit spiritually? Well, by taking heed thereunto according to thy word. When we do that, even the psalmist says that our way will be a way of blessing, a way of prosperity, spiritually speaking. Now, going back here to 2 Timothy 3:16, it's profitable. We need the profit from the Word of God. So, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, what does this mean? So, let's look at the Word of God. Let's look at its divine origin here today. So, that's... you see, we have two sets of bullet points here on our first slide. We need the Word of God to grow. And the beginning of the second set of bullet points here is the Bible's divine origin. The Bible is unlike any other book that has been written. Yes, men wrote it, holy men of God, prophets wrote it, and we're going to look at the divine process in just a minute, but as the Holy Spirit of God moved them, but it was God-breathed. Literally, God breathed out the words. And so He is the author of Scripture. These are His words, not men's words. No prophecy came from the will of man. So we see that it has a divine origin. This is not man's idea. The Bible is not cleverly devised fables and mythology. The Bible is truly God's revelation to mankind. And without this revelation, then we would not have spiritual light. But we do have a revelation of God, so we do have spiritual light. We do have the Word of God because of its divine origin. So the Bible was given to us under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. It didn't come to us because men willed it. Now let's go over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. 2 Peter 1, 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So here's the divine process of the Bible. Yes, men wrote it, but men did not author it. They were God's secretaries. As God breathed out the words, that's the Holy Spirit bearing them along. Then they wrote down what God told them. Now, God, in His grace and His kindness, used each author of the Scripture at their vocabulary ability, at their educational ability, according to their personality, maybe even their national origin. Used each one of them to write the Word of God. But the process here is this. God breathed it. The Holy Spirit moved the prophets of old to write it down, and then they wrote it down. So that's the process called inspiration. And the transmission then of the Word of God comes down to us from that. It has been passed down to us without corruption, without mistakes, without errors. Word of God is, every word is His Word. That's what we mean by plenary and verbal inspiration. The Word of God is preserved. The Word of the Lord is pure. It's like silver and gold tried in a furnace seven times. His Word is forever settled in heaven. It is a process. And then the Word of God has a divine reward. Okay, and that is that our faith increases. Now, we know Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So our faith grows. We increase our faith by putting ourselves under the hearing of the Bible. You simply cannot grow as a Christian without the Word of God. You need the Word of God. Now, I trust that you have set some goals, that it's still early in the year. You could lay out for yourself a Bible reading plan. Now, my personal plan this year is to go through the Psalms twice. Right now, I've got to get caught up. I'm a day behind. But just read through the Psalms. You could do that two times this year. You could read through the entire Bible. Whatever it is, use a smartphone and look, download a Bible app and follow a Bible reading program. Have them read it aloud to you. Or just read through the book of Proverbs 12 times this year. You can do that. So you need the Word of God, and there is reward, there is profit, there is success. There is great reward in keeping the things that you hear in the Word of God. You will grow. You will become a victorious Christian. And so the Christian needs three things to grow. All right. Now, our second point here is this. Every Christian needs prayer to grow. Every Christian needs prayer to grow. So let me just take you to a few verses here along this line. We need prayer to grow. Over in Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 11. We see that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray in verses 1 through 4. So I'll begin reading that, and just as soon as my fingers will cooperate and we can get there. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so the Lord taught his disciples how to pray. Now, these men had been with Jesus. And Jesus gave them his prayer. Really, you might call it the disciples' prayer, because the Lord didn't have to pray this prayer himself. But he did teach us to pray this prayer. And in its purest form, prayer just simply means asking God. God is delighted when we ask for help. And so if we're to mature, if we're to grow in the Christian faith, then we must learn to pray. Jesus had a definite time and a place. He would get alone and pray. He would pray early in the morning. And so whatever that time of day is for you, set that time to pray. Now, here are some questions for us, all right? How do we pray? How do we pray? Well, first of all, pray believing. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. And all things that you ask in prayer, believe, and you will receive. So pray believing. Pray with thanksgiving in your heart that you have already received the request. That is faith in God's ability and power. And God really delights to answer prayer. And he wants us to do that. Pray specifically. Ask God for the things you need in a detailed way. Now, we're here in Luke 11. I would like us to go back up to verses 5, or go down to verses 5 through 10. And he said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he from within shall answer and say, 'Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because will he not rise and give him because he is friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." There is an ask verse in the Bible, ASK verse. That's Matthew 7:7. It's repeated here in Luke chapter 11, verse 10. But ask specifically. A friend came and didn't knock on the door and say, "Hey, give me some food." He asked for specific things. Ask the Lord for those very specific things. You don't receive because you ask amiss. You're not specific enough. Many times we pray, "Lord, bless the missionaries." Well, do we want all missionaries to be blessed? No. I think what we intend is that the Bible-believing, gospel-preaching kind of missionaries are the ones that we want God to bless. So specifically ask for that. Or pray for a specific missionary by name. So be more specific. Pray insistently. Now, over here in this passage in Luke 11, because of his importunity, his constantly knocking on the door, the friend finally relents and says, "Okay, I'm going to give you what you need so I can go back to bed." But now God's not that way. Now, in Luke chapter 18, we have a story of an unjust judge. And this is a parable. Now, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Here's the earthly story. There's a widow who has been taken advantage of financially. And she goes before a judge and he doesn't want to hear the case. But she keeps coming back and coming back and coming back. And the judge finally says to himself, "She's going to wear me out. I'm going to go ahead and give her what she wants. I'm going to listen to her." And so it says this in verse 7, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will never, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Pray insistently. Keep going after God. He doesn't mind. He tells you to do that. Even if he's bearing long with you, keep going after him. Pray incessantly. And so pray constantly, as we see here in Luke 18:1. "He spake a parable unto them to this end," or for this purpose, this outcome, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't get discouraged when you don't get the answer right away. Don't get discouraged if you don't get the answer after a year or two. Don't get discouraged when it takes decades to get prayer. Keep on praying. I've shared the story many times with the people here at Calvary about my previous ministry that I was in up in Contra Costa County, that as a church, the church prayed for 20 years that God would provide them a building. We would bang our heads against the wall, so to speak, trying to figure out where God wanted us to be. And at the right moment, in God's divine way, His sovereign will was answered, and He gave them a building. And so, but it took 20 years. But pray constantly. Pray without ceasing. So be in a constant attitude of prayer. Always be ready to talk to the Lord. Here's another one. Luke 11:3 tells us to pray daily. Pray daily. Pray early. Let's go over to Mark chapter 1, verse 35. So Matthew, then Mark chapter 1. Verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. So Jesus prayed daily. He prayed early. Mark 1:35. And so then every time you sin, now this is something that Christians seem to neglect. But when you commit a sin, you need to apologize to God. You need to confess. You need to agree with Him that what you have done is a sin. And then if you confess the sin, take God's side against yourself, then He will forgive you and cleanse you of all your sin, of all the unrighteousness. And so he'll take the shame and the guilt away if you will accept the blame and so acknowledge your sin. So that is our second point. Every Christian needs the Word of God to grow. Every Christian needs prayer to grow. And so then our third point here is every Christian needs fellowship to grow. Needs fellowship to grow. All right, let's look at this concept of Christian fellowship. Now, fellowship is getting together with other Christians. Now, here's what God has done. God has divided abilities and spiritual gifts amongst the Christians so that no one Christian possesses all the spiritual resources that he or she may need in life to grow. Every Christian is a dependent Christian upon other Christians. Now, I know during this pandemic that Christian fellowship has been very difficult. We would desire to have people into our home. We would desire to be with our brothers and sisters more. But because of the pandemic, we can't. We understand that there is a stewardship of health. But, you know, when this is done, you need to get back into a physical coming to church and sitting in the building with other believers. That is the gathering of the church. That truly is what a church is the gathered saints. So many stay home and watch on television, and that's fine for those that have physical limitations that would keep them from being in church. But if you don't have any physical limitations, then you need to, when this is over, you need to get back into church. And so let's pray that these vaccines get out and then start showing up in person again and make it a priority to be in God's house. But now, while the pandemic goes on and you can't physically come to a worship service, you still can fellowship. We're fellowshipping through a social media platform, and that's very limited. But you can pick up the phone. You could go and have driveway fellowship. You could go in walk or something outside. There's things that you can do. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, God exhorts the Hebrew Christians not to forsake the assembling of themselves together. Now, what is the assembling of themselves together? Well, at a bare minimum, it's two or three. When we gather together in His name, He is in our presence. And so today we here at Calvary Baptist Church, praise God, as we gather together. I have one brother with me, and we're here to do the Lord's work in his name, so he's with us. And so we're desiring more to be with us as time goes by, but there is no substitute for regular church attendance. And that's where we receive the rich teaching of God's Word and the encouragement, the exhortation of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, I'd like us to go over to the book of Acts for just a moment, chapter 2. We'll see how important it was for the new believers to have fellowship, to be in the physical presence of one another. Acts chapter 2, we'll look at verses 41 through 47. And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and that day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So here are 3,000 new Christians. They have believed and they've been baptized, and now these 3,000 are getting together in different groups and sizes, but on a daily basis. In verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in fellowship. So they were getting together. And the breaking of bread, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, and every man as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. So as many of them as could get together on a daily basis, they came together in the temple. And then it says, after that, they broke bread from house to house. So they went in smaller groups to homes. And it says they ate their food with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such things as should be saved. Now, perhaps for some churches and perhaps for Calvary Baptist Church, the coronavirus is a good thing. It'll help us to reevaluate. Are we providing a platform for Christian fellowship? Are we fulfilling this biblical mandate for us to fellowship together as believers? And what do we need to do to make sure that we're facilitating that biblical mandate, that we're actually carrying through and obeying that? And so they met for fellowship on a daily basis. Now, you'll also see here on the outlines that we're supposed to build one another up when we come together. That's found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Now, God gave pastors to the church to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And when the saints do the work of the ministry, then the body is built up. It is increased spiritually and sometimes numerically. So every church needs to be a growing church. If it's not growing numerically, then it needs to be growing spiritually. So let's stop for a moment judging ourselves on the size of our church or the number of people who show up, and let's look and evaluate. Are we growing spiritually? And then leave the results as far as numbers are concerned to the Lord. Are we growing spiritually? And so one thing that I can say as a pastor, I believe that during this coronavirus, we as a church are growing spiritually. Now, who knows where the numbers are, all right? But we know that we're growing spiritually. We're depending and trusting on the Lord. We're seeing His faithfulness to us and resulting in our praise to Him. And so that's growth. We get to see God prove who He is to the church through a time like this. And it's been really an awe-inspiring time to watch God meet all of our needs, to see and hear of people getting saved during this time. So, yes, we're growing, and it's an exciting thing. Now, as we grow spiritually through the faithful teaching of our brothers and sisters in the Lord, our pastors and teachers, then God ultimately has a goal for us. And so that is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, is that we be found in the measure and the stature of Christ. But as we do that, that we do it together. Ephesians 4, 13. It says this, till we all come to the unity of the faith
and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature or fullness of Christ. Let's not be the Lone Ranger Christian. You cannot continue to grow alone. You must grow together. And that's what's stated at the beginning of the verse. So we, plural, all come to the unity of the faith. We've got to do this together. And so that's why it's important for you to comment on your social media platform, to share it, to let your brothers and sisters know that you're watching, that you're participating. That's why it's important that you pick up the phone and you check on one another and you call, that you send an email, a text. That maybe sometimes you can drive your car into the parking lot and sit there and listen on the car radio. And if you're concerned, then leave your windows up and honk or wave at people as they drive away or as they come away from a service or something like that. So just stay in contact. Stay in fellowship with one another. So three things every Christian needs to grow. Three things every Christian needs to grow. Well, let's go ahead at this time and have our closing benediction from the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. And I think I've misplaced my outline here, so let me see if I can find it real quick. All right, well, let's just go ahead, and I'm just going to try to do the best I can from memory here. All right, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Well, thank you so much for being with us here today during Sunday school. Please do share that with us. And remember, just to pray for us today. Thank you, and God be with you.